today is Friday, June 15th, 2007. Apologies for being late. We're still on the floor of the House trying to get bills, get work through. It's been a very sensitive year. Yes, and took turns eating, so thank you for being here. We'll open up public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 157A relating to Home Care Commission. Mr. Fred.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, we had a discussion yesterday about Senate Bill 157, and we have an amendment, the A7 amendment, that I will pass out to you. This is to get at the language discussion that we had yesterday. The engrossed version of the bill on lines 17 and 18 said, in carrying out its duties, the Home Care Commission may, and now I'm reading on lines 17 and 18, D, charge and collect fees as prescribed by rule for persons who are current, who are not current or prospective home care workers who to attend training sessions sponsored by the commission. The amendment would replace those two lines with D, as prescribed by rule, charge fees to and collect fees from persons who attend training sessions sponsored by the commission and who currently are not home care workers.
Senator Bates.
Madam Chair, I think we all understand what's on here, and I would just like to go forward and offer a motion if I could.
You may, and thank you, Senator Bates, for your work on this.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I'd move the A7 amendments into Senate Bill 157.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold for a minute. I did not do that. We'll open our work session in Senate Bill 157-A7. Senator Bates?
Madam Chair, I'd move the A7 amendments into Senate Bill 157.
Senator Bates moved the amendment, proposed amendments to Senate Bill 157-A7. To the full bill, any objections? Seeing none, Senator Bates?
I'm sure I'd move Senate Bill 157 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee. Is this going to full?
Yes.
The full Ways and Means Committee will do pass recommendation.
Senator Bates moves Senate Bill 157A to the full committee with a do pass recommendation. Comments, objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Thank you very much. Mr. Benton?
Madam Chair, at this time, if you would work, open a works.
Close the work session. Senate Bill 157A and open a work session on House Bill 5031, Department of Human Services, with emphasis on seniors and people with disabilities.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see, we have a bit on seniors and people with disabilities as well as department-wide support services. Sheila Baker will be with you to talk about department-wide support services. This was, however, an opportunity to give you a chance to ask questions if you have any further on what was presented yesterday with respect to the seniors and people with disabilities budget. I have extra copies if you need them on the spreadsheet that we handed out yesterday.
Are there questions on this budget? Is my intent to pass it out. Senator Gordley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remain concerned that we have not addressed the matter of general assistance dollars. General assistance was not captured in the governor's budget, nor in the co-chair's budget. And I just want to make a plea and put on the record that before we depart on June 29th, that we need to find those dollars. And if my memory serves me correctly, those general assistance dollars, they really can be the difference between life and death for people who are just, you know, at the bottom, very vulnerable. And I can recall in a previous session when we were faced with horrible budget cuts, that we made some cuts that many people remember the story of Douglas Schmidt, who needed money for medication, lost those benefits, lost those dollars, was unable to get his medication, slipped into a coma, was in a hospital bed for quite a while. The medical costs, I believe, went over $1 million. And in the end, Douglas Schmidt died. So I'm mindful that we make decisions that do affect people's lives. And we, again, we need to find our way to bring in those general assistance dollars that will plug that gap for those who are most vulnerable. And I'm going to say again what I've said on two other occasions when I've made a plea for additional dollars, that if we have to look elsewhere in the budget, I'm not suggesting that we look elsewhere in the Department of Human Services budgets, but that we look at K-12 and take the few million dollars that would be required to plug this gap. And again, it's about the most vulnerable, and it is about it's a matter of life and death for many people.
Thank you. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is not a question. This is going to be a comment also. I've been reviewing the materials that we received in presentations much earlier in the session and reviewing some of the statistics in other agencies or other programs. Some of our hope is to reduce the need by investments now. Then we hope the problem is reduced or the number of people needing that kind of help is reduced. That is not the situation in this area. We have needs that exceed what we're able to provide right now. We have, those needs are in excess of what we're providing for this biennium, but then if you look at the projections, of course, the need will be growing, not shrinking in this area. So I think it's important to recognize the kind of investments that we need to make, and this isn't the end, and the situation needs to be addressed. How can we improve it? I think that it's, for me, it's very important to know that seniors who want to remain in their homes can stay in their homes. It's also important to know that when they can't remain in their homes, that when they're in a nursing home or some other facility, that they're getting the appropriate care. This is important for the seniors, it's important for the families of those seniors, and it's also important for the people who are providing the care in those nursing facilities. So I also want to echo some sentiments that we continue to look for how we can invest in those programs and provide more assistance that are related to care in the home as well as care in nursing facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kotak.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Guerrero.
And I share Representative Nathanson's concerns that we have to keep looking hard as far as we can until we leave the building. I just want to mention House Bill 3139, which is in relation to what Senator Gordley was talking about, which is restoring the General Assistance Program. I think we need to look hard at that. The House Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness heard that bill. We heard very compelling testimony. The entire committee wrote a letter saying that was a priority for us. So I want to hope to keep that on the top of the list. Also, House Bill 2464, which will allow people with developmental disabilities to retain earned income. It has a small fiscal, but it means a lot to those folks staying working. So we have some work to do yet. This isn't a perfect budget, but let's just all keep working hard on this. Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just a quick comment, Madam Chair, again, in regards to Senator Gordley's comments. I had a bill that would have reestablished general assistance in this legislature, and I think it was one of the first to die. So,
we'll give him hope.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I love going last because I can just completely agree with all the previous speakers and just add that I think it's a great budget. I think it's you've done a great job in meeting as many of the needs as possible, and I would still like to see us try to get some work, more work done on OPI to include people with disabilities too.
Madam Chair,
I'm Senator Morissette.
Thank you. I have a continuing problem with the 90% of equity. There will be layoffs in three of the AAAs as a result of that, and we're going in the wrong direction, and I'm sorry about that.
I think yesterday I got on my little soapbox and talked about the bigger issue, and that is always the revenue issue that faces this particular subcommittee. And I know that Senator Wardley has constantly talked during the session about need for reform. And I'm just picking up her gauntlet because as we sit here and talk about, I don't care what program, and they're all very valuable and they're all very needed, whether it is OPI, whether it's general assistance, whether it is increasing the amount of dollars so that we've got some kind of salary equity between the providers and the state workers, they're all very valuable and needed. And our wish list can go on and on. But I'm also very, very mindful that it takes revenue for us to do that. And I was reminded this morning when we were doing the healthy kids package on the Senate floor, and I thought about 2003. And I thought about 2003 when some of us in this building recognized that there was the need in order to make certain that individuals got their needs met, particularly in the Meridian Health Plan. And so individuals like myself and Senator Bates and Westland and Senator Carter and others, you know, went up the hill and passed the package that would require, I think it was a 3%, and Senator Westland can correct me if I'm wrong, surcharge. Which was shut down for 3 years, if I can recall. And, of course, that effort of ours was rejected by the citizens of the state. I say that because without the ability for us to have a revenue that we need, and without the support of citizens in the state, we tread a lot of windmills on this committee. And it's heartbreaking because I don't think you find a member, your chair, and others here who would not like to be able to fund the needs of the citizens of the state, particularly our most vulnerable citizens. But we need your help too, and I know that Senator Morris has been struggling all session with trying to get us to a tax reform package. But there's some of us who believe that has to happen at some point in this state. We cannot continue, and it's been going on now since we passed Measure 5, where we had this imbalance of revenue for those that are in the Department of Human Services in the area of here. I needed to put that out there in the record because we wrestle with this every session.
What we will do is put a certain portion of this committee at ease until the House can go and vote. So we stand at ease until the House returns. I wanted to say, and I forgot to say before, now I want to welcome the home care workers. And when I looked at all that purple, I was going to do it, but we had to go to the House first. So we want to welcome you visiting your capital today, and thank you for being here to be a part of the budget hearing. Also, I wanted to recognize what you have, many of you in the membership have said, on this committee have said, about general assistance. And you're right, it's the poorest of the poor. And Representative Garrard, I want to compliment you for having placed a bill of that. It's very high on our agenda, as you can hear from the concerns of the members of this committee. So I want to thank all of you for that. And certainly, we have put it in the way of people to see, and co-chairs are still contemplating and seeing where we can find dollars. I also want to say that I've still been seeking opportunity to look for another $1 million for OPI, so that is not off my radar screen either. So please know that. So if there's any further questions on the SPD budget before we have a changing of the guard and go to the department-wide services budget, any further questions? Okay, thank you very much. Well, you can't leave it to Ms. Baker because she probably just heard this, and we don't want you falling over anything that comes here quickly.
Ms. Baker will have a memo and spreadsheet to go over with you in just a few minutes.
Okay.
So I will go there.
All right, you can depart. Anything for the good of the order while we wait for Ms. Baker?
Just to say, Madam Chair, that Mr. Britton has done a wonderful job.
He has indeed.
With our committee this session, and I know all of us enjoy working with you, John. Thank you so much.
Well, again. Senator Westland.
While we're at semi at ease here, Madam Chair, I'd just like to comment on two pieces. First of all, my apologies for not being able to be here yesterday, but I had a much higher calling in terms of having to drive home and participate in my son's graduation from high school. And let me tell you, for a 57-year-old guy to get over the hill and to bend and back in one day, it's getting to be a push. So I'm a little bit like a sack of soggy potatoes today, but I did seriously want to express my continued concern over the $95,000 that was not yet, and we're all working on that in the budget for the reimbursement rate equity. And then also yesterday, I was not here, I am concerned that the portion of the budget, I believe it's right at $6 million for the home health care workers, is still to be found. So I am concerned about that, and please know we're all working on that very hard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the...
Well, maybe I should open the committee, though. I've opened the hearing, the work session on House Bill 5031, Department of Human Services, Department-wide Support Services. Ms. Baker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Department-wide Support Services, as you remember, is the Director's Office and the Central Administrative Functions, in a nutshell, of the Department of Human Services. It's also referred to organizationally as the Administrative Services Division, or ASD, but the budget structure is Department-wide Support Services. And what we are recommending today, if you look at the cover memo for the Department-wide Support Services work session that I had handed out, what we're recommending today is $183,970,302 general fund, $475,924,446 total funds, 1,133 positions, 1,104.39 FTE. And as the memo notes, that's a significant general fund increase, almost 27% general fund increase, and 11% total fund increase above the current legislatively approved budget. There are a number of reasons for that, including continuation of information technology projects that were started in the last biennium, as well as in terms of the general fund increase, shifts in the amount of federal funds, general funds support for the budget overall. As you remember, we had a discussion during the budget hearings on cost allocation, and that the impact of that shows up in the significant general fund increase in this budget. The recommended adjustments include, as with the other program areas, changes in the reshoot. And I've noted there that the reshoot changes included $8.3 million general fund increase and a similar federal funds decrease related to the cost allocation process. We did find $1.8 million in additional general fund savings that resulted from changes in other program areas in the reshoot, but that which hadn't been accounted for in this budget, so we're recommending those adjustments. And overall, we've adjusted for the impact of budget actions in other program areas, and as we walk through the spreadsheets, I will note those for you. We've made an adjustment to the co-chair's budget on the internal audit staff positions, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We've added some other funds expenditure limitation rate related to the plan for issuing certificates of participation to finance the Oregon State Hospital project. And then the co-chairs also have recommended an addition of general fund for a network of care type website to provide some online information. So we'll talk about those in a little more detail, and I would like to walk you through the spreadsheets. There's basically two spreadsheets for this budget. I've separated out what I'm calling department-wide support services operations and then the debt service piece so that you can see the separate numbers there. So the first page of the department-wide support services piece is recapping what happened in the reshoot. So you can see itemized there the agency reshoot request issues. I don't want to go over those again because we had the presentation on those earlier, but I do want to call your attention then to line 14, which is the reshoot request, basically the governor's revised budget for this program area. And you'll note there the $8 million, almost $9 million increase in the reshoot from the governor's recommended budget level. Then we get into the recommended adjustments. Item 16 is to correct the reshoot for a tobacco tax revenue transfer that was made in error. So this just backs us out and gets us back to where it was in the governor's budget. Lines 17 and 18 and 20 are the additional savings that I referenced where in either the caseload changes in other program areas, in the essential budget level pieces, or in policy option packages in the CAF budget particularly, there were changes made in staffing that were not reflected in the department-wide support services reshoot. So those savings are reflected here. And what that is tied to is the fact that as staff are added in the department-wide support services budget covers one-time expenditures such as furniture, office equipment, computers, and also has ongoing expenditures for things like rent, office expenses. So those central kinds of costs are included in the department-wide support services budget and not in the program area's budget. So as positions are added, you'll see money added to the department-wide support services budget, but then as positions come out from where the budget was built, then that funding needs to come out as well. So that's why those savings show up here. Item number 19 is related to the Children, Adults, and Families Package for Child Welfare Safety Improvements. We talked during the CAF work session about the fact that the agency had restructured that package, and the way they restructured it, they ended up with fewer new positions than they had originally anticipated. And so this is adjusting the department-wide support services budget again for that restructuring. Item number 21, if you'll remember again in the CAF budget budget discussion. In the TANF reauthorization package, there were 16 additional MSW positions that were added related to intensive case management service for multiple barrier clients in that program area. So this is TANF federal funding that is paying for the central administrative costs of those positions. Then item 22 is eliminating almost all of the Healthy Kids Plan package in this budget to align with what happened in the program areas, except for the central administrative costs for one position that was funded with general fund and health services for the dental sealant program. So that's the $23,049 general fund in that particular line item. Item 23 relates to the school-based health centers. In the health services budget, the tobacco tax in the governor's budget was replaced with general fund, so again, that fund shift is made here. Item 24, healthy teen survey, tobacco tax funding was eliminated in health services budget for that.
Madam Chair.
Item,
Representative Kotek. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering, could we get... Do we know what will happen to the Healthy Teen Survey without this funding? They've been trying to get some regular general fund support to do that survey for several sessions now, and sometimes it gets funded by federal grants. It's one of those surveys that we all rely on, that our federal grants rely on. And I'm just wondering if we had any additional information from the department, if this is not funded, if they will have the dollars to do the survey. And maybe we can just hear from the department later on that. I'm just wondering.
Who's it from the department?
Public health, maybe?
You've been spotted.
And maybe we could follow up offline, too. I just want to make sure that the survey doesn't completely go away.
And Ms. Kotek, on Tuesday, we can further discuss this, too.
That would be fine, too.
Okay. Yeah, Chair Carter and members of the committee, for the record, Clyde Psyche, Deputy Director for Operations, we aren't sure what will happen to it, but we could probably get you an answer this afternoon. So we'll make sure we get that to you this afternoon.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
But either way, you just come prepared to come back when the person is on Tuesday.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
thanks,
because if there are any follow-up, should we have access to it?
Sure. Madam Chair, we'll have somebody here to talk about that.
Thank you.
Item 25, then, is the impact of the changed Senate Bill 157 structure for the Home Care Commission. This puts an accounting position in department-wide support services to support that commission. So this is funding for that position in department-wide support services. Item 25 eliminates tobacco tax funding proposed in the governor's budget to enhance the EMS trauma systems. Again, central administrative impact of that health services package. Item 27 was related to the Oregon Health Plan standard program increase. And again, because the funding is not available at this point, that limitation is pulled out of this budget. Item 28 reflects the changed funding for the early assessment and support teams. The tobacco tax is replaced with general fund. Central administrative support costs, again, related to what's happening in the program areas. Item 29, the local health department's package and health services budget, the staffing was eliminated, although the $4.2 million grants to counties was continued. So if there's no staffing, then there's no central administrative department-wide support services costs. So those come out there. Items 30 and 31 are removing unneeded other funds expenditure limitation that was originally included in those packages, basically zeroing out both those packages for the department-wide support services. Item 32 is the internal audits package. The governor's budget proposed three internal auditor positions. One was to be targeted for information technology work. Two were general purpose, I guess you would call them, internal auditors. Because of the additional savings that we found in the budget, we are able to fund one of these, and we're suggesting that the subcommittee fund the internal audit position related to IT, because that's a
a position or an expertise that they don't currently have in that audit function. So this would fund one position out of the three that the agency originally requested. Item 32 is, again, a fund shift in that package. The co-chair has funded part of the Youth Substance Abuse Prevention Program, not with OLCC revenues as proposed in the governor's budget, but with general funds. So this is related to a position in that package in mental health and addiction services. Then on the top of page 3, the enhanced tobacco prevention and education, that package was eliminated in health services, so the central administrative piece is eliminated here. On line 35, there is an increase of other funds expenditure limitation related to the Oregon State Hospital replacement project. These are increased costs of issuance based on projected needs for certificates of participation funding this biennium and for the first few months of the next biennium to carry the project funding through until a fall 2009 planned issuance of certificates of participation. So the original budget looked at what kind of financing, what kind of money did we need for this project for the 2007-09 biennium, but didn't take into account the fact that the next sale of certificates of participation, which would raise revenue, wouldn't happen until the fall. So what this does is increases the amount of certificates of participation that will be issued this biennium to carry them over until the sale in fall of 2009. So it doesn't affect the overall project costs. It just moves some of the financing up a little sooner, and so the cost of issuance here related to that are a little bit higher. I hope I've clarified that for you. We'll get another stab at it when we talk to about the debt service.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could just say here that what this points out to me is that looking ahead, we need to make sure that we keep this issue in front of the emergency board with a report at each emergency board meeting so that we have aggressive reporting and aggressive monitoring of the entire Oregon State Hospital remodeling and that whole effort just needs to be aggressively monitored. So I just want to put that on the record now, and we'll pick that conversation up later, I'm sure.
Thank you, Senator Gordon. Line 36 are the central administrative costs for the staffing related to House Bill 2406, which you just recently dealt with. Item 37 relates to some additional savings in the SPD, Services for People with Disabilities, budget for the Eastern Oregon Training Center. Because that includes eliminating some position, there are some central administrative savings tied to that. And then the last adjustment there, item 38, is the co-chair's recommendation for DHS to develop a network of care type information website. And I say network of care type because it's my understanding the department will need to do a request for proposal process and have a competitive bid for that work. It's not directed to any particular provider, but there was testimony in the substantive committee on a bill that would have provided some funding for that, that discussed what that particular website might look like.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wanted to follow up on the substantive committee discussion on this. We had several bills related to different types of websites, to different delivery systems of services. And I believe the bill we ended up passing on the Ways and Means showed a preference out of the substantive committee for a website related to mental health services. And I didn't know how, if we were planning to address the bill or discuss this further, put some sideboards on this if this goes forward, on the type of website, if we indeed fund some type of information or referral website, because there's some really good ones out there. I'm just wondering how we're going to proceed with that particular line item. Are we going to give it any direction? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
Ms. Kotek, actually, that was something that the co-chairs dealt with, and I have not thought any further about that, so it's at the pleasure of the committee. What was the kind of thing that you'd like to see? What you have in mind?
Well, because we saw websites out there for children's services. There was one on mental health. There was senior services. Some of the community partners have purchased similar type websites for a local level. You know, if we know which ones are out there, maybe some of the county levels, then which one might make sense from a statewide level to build on what's already happening in some of the local communities. Maybe we can talk offline whether or not we want to have more discussion about it.
Thanks.
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to follow up on Representative Kotek's comments. When I saw that, I recalled how we had seen in our presentations earlier this year, some agencies have already undertaken work to prepare websites, some without additional funding, some they worked into their department budgets. In some cases, there were requests for information services or website work. So maybe as we talk between now and whenever the next time is, we could also get some information on how sometimes these things are possible within how they've been achieved within the resources that were within the agency.
And Madam Chair, again, what jumps out at me on Y38 is that we're talking about $400,000 general fund. And so, you know, again, is this the best use of limited general fund dollars? Or should these general fund dollars be spent in another category that meets real needs and needs of vulnerable Oregonians? I'm very concerned that we would spend $400,000 on a website.
I'm listening, Senator Fred. Please, Nora. Echo. Okay. Well, okay, and those are the recommendations relative to the operational pieces. As I indicated earlier, there is a separate spreadsheet that deals with the debt service changes, and so I'll touch on those briefly. In the agency reshoot request, you can see two adjustments, one related to existing debt service in the budget and the other related to the Oregon State Hospital project. And so those costs were reduced in the reshoot, but now with the repricing, retiming, if you will, of the certificates of participation for the upcoming biennium, the debt service costs will go back up a little bit during this biennium. Again, because the added amount of COPs this biennium is late in the biennium, it doesn't affect the debt service that much this biennium. It will be higher next biennium as well. But, I mean, that's true of all of the debt service, is that as it's being phased in during the time period it's issued, it's a lower level, and then it will increase in the out years. But those are the summary of our recommended budget adjustments. And then if you want to turn back to the memo, I would just highlight.
Let me just see, any questions on from the speaker on the budget presented before you? Questions? Comments for the order? Okay, let's wait. Okay.
On page 2 of the memo, again, it mentions the appropriation bill amendment that, you know, the amendment will be to House Bill 5031, the Department of Human Service budget, in its entirety and not on the individual program areas. In the area of performance measure, this department-wide support services administrative support division is the lead on the customer service key performance measure, and as with the rest of DHS's performance measures, we plan to address that next Tuesday in the final work session on this bill. We do recommend a budget note to require reporting on the Oregon State Hospital replacement project. It is not at, I would not expect that the language would require a report at every emergency board to address Senator Gordon's
recommendation, but at least at every budget rebalance during the interim, so every 6 months. And I, you know, certainly you can require them to come in more often than that. My thinking was that because the project is starting up, that to have something to report on at every emergency board meeting, there may not be much change, I guess is what I'm saying. There may not be enough change to really warrant a report, but there might be. And if, you know, if it's a pleasure of the committee and the co-chairs to require a report more often, certainly that can be accommodated in the budget note.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I would say my experience and our lack of experience in this arena just says to me we need to be aggressive in how we monitor this rollout. So that's where I'm coming from. We've never done this before. And so let's stay ahead of whatever the progress is. And if we find out that there's not much to report, great. But if we find out that there's trouble or something that we need to be mindful of, then we'll be ahead of the effort. That's my point.
Comments from other members on the issue before you now. Senator Gordon's going to report on a monthly basis.
Every time you're going to have an e-board under,
able to lots.
Every time we meet, have a report on the progress of the Oregon State Hospital and all of the planning and construction and all of that, a regular reporting.
Just to concur with Senator Gordley, the fiscal responsibility lies with whatever body is developed during the interim, but a close watching of those numbers is, I think, most desirable as we educate ourselves to the entire procedure.
Do we want to define periodically? As Ms. Baker had it before today, you got to talk to me, else it goes in like it is here.
Madam Chair, this isn't necessarily the language of the budget note. The budget note could be more specific than that.
Right.
I would say I believe that there's not an emergency board meeting anticipated before the February special session, but that subsequent to that, the agency, you could have the agency come in and be reporting every emergency board meeting.
All right. We need to be explicit.
Periodic doesn't get it for me. Every e-board meeting.
Every e-board meeting. Okay, I see some heads nodding in there.
Senator, are we going to have an e-board between after we sign and die and between meeting?
We're not sure yet. But what Senator Gordon is saying, that as soon as the e-board meets, that we should have some kind of response or some kind of report from the department in terms of the status of the state hospital.
Madam Chair, the budget note could certainly incorporate having them report both to the 2008 session and then the emergency boards after that.
I think that would be better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a draft ready for us on Tuesday today?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Further comments?
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions of Ms. Baker?
No, but I do have, it doesn't deal with the e-board discussion, but on the issue of the network of care, do we have any idea or concept of how many, particularly I'm looking at our client base that would access this information, actually have computers?
Can I just let some of you guys know?
No,
that's all right.
No,
it's not a number.
Okay. All right.
Madam Chair, I would maybe suggest that because this isn't something that the department's brought forward and they haven't done a lot of work on it yet, it may be worthwhile if they come back on Tuesday and say maybe how they would plan for this, and then have a subsequent report later once there's more definition about how this would be spent.
Actually, I'll be attending one thinking, so Tuesday would be a great day. Representative Morgan?
And Madam Co-Chair, if we could get more information about what the scope of this is and what the purpose is, and I'm just so really lacking information. I think Senator Gordley's comments really should be explored a little bit.
Okay. We'll have something prepared for that on either Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Anything else, Ms.
That summarizes our recommendations at this point.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Ritchie. Can you tell us what's on the agenda tomorrow?
Yes. There were calendars for the, well, from now until next Tuesday distributed to your offices. And tomorrow you will meet at 10:30, and there's public hearings on House Bill 2687A, which is relating to persons subject to regulation by Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, and then Senate Bill 931A relating to obesity. Monday, we have a public hearing and work session planned on Senate Bill 414 relating to the placement of children. It's relating to siblings in its current form. And then Tuesday, June 19th, would be the final work session for Department of Human Services. And after that, it's all up in the air.
Okay. Questions? Any questions, Ms. Baker? I appreciate you guys so much, and thank you for good work. And I will see you in the morning at 10:30.